Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Many years ago now, when I went to college, I attended Franciscan University of Steubenville in Ohio, a Catholic university run by the Third Order Regular Franciscans and the Charismatic Renewal Center of the United States of America. That university in the 70s was on Playboy Pornographic Magazine's top 10 of party schools. When Father Michael Scanlon came, a graduate from Harvard Law School, and then later a priest of the Third Order Regular, and said, "This must end immediately. If I'm going to be president, we are radically changing this university campus." And he did that. There was a lot of battles and contentions and uproar, but he remained steadfast and unmoved in his commitment, unwavering in calling down the Holy Spirit to utterly transform this grotesque place of debauchery with a Catholic title into the heart of the central heart of the charismatic movement in the United States of America. He took a school that was abhorrent on the level of the moral life, that epitomized the second reading today from Paul's letter to the Galatians, a place of immorality, impurity, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts of fury, acts of selfishness, dissensions, factions, occasions of envy, drinking bouts, orgies, and the like, promoted and celebrated by Hugh Hefner, into the heart of the Catholic renewal in the United States of America. That is the work of the Holy Spirit when hearts are open to receive the gift and the grace. When I went there, I thought I was holy, but I realized that there were many people far holier than I who were open to the Holy Spirit, who worshiped God the Holy Spirit, and were led by the fruits of the Spirit. And as I stepped on that campus and began going to daily Mass and their monthly festivals of praise, I encountered the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in today's reading. People filled with love, with joy, with peace. They were patient and kind and generous. They were faithful and gentle. They showed self-control. They didn't need the law because they were free from the desires to break it. I saw in so many people what can happen when hearts are open to the Holy Spirit and the power and vigor of the youthfulness that characterizes our teenage years is put on full display for the glory of God and the building up of the church. Those 4 years changed my life. I wasn't a charismatic, in quotes. I was more prone to the rosary and prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, but it opened my heart to realize that without the Holy Spirit, I cannot be doing God's will in my life. The scriptures have told us throughout this year of Easter, this time of Easter, that Christ must ascend to the right hand of the Father so that the Holy Spirit can come to guide us in all things until he returns. It is God the Holy Spirit that is the primary person acting in the church today, or is supposed to be. But as I moved on from college and began entering the seminary and working as a priest and struggling with my own limitations and weaknesses, I realized that the descriptions of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that Paul speaks about when we're led by the Spirit, the incredible example of balance of theology and reason and faith and charismatic prayer that I've only seen on that campus at Steubenville was nowhere to be found or experienced practically anywhere I went. Our parishes are dying, and many of them are dead. And you wonder, well, where is this description in the scriptures of, and where is that happening today? Many people would say, oh no, praying in tongues and healing the sick and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are historical things that the Bible talks about that may or may not actually be true. I just go to Mass. And nothing could be further from the truth. No lie can come more deeply from the pits of hell than that. We are accepting the the lifeless reality of an expression of faith that is oppressed by the law because all our hearts want to do is to break it. And we think that we're captivated and or held captive by our vices. And we just go to Mass to maybe avoid hell. Or maybe just because, well, that's just what I do. But if you look at me on the weekends or during the week, you'll see the description of Paul in the letter to the Galatians and not the good ones. Our churches seem to be dead. The faith of the faithful seems to be inert, dry, like the bones in Ezekiel. But the Second Vatican Council ushered in the reality as dogma that the Holy Spirit is meant to move in the hearts of the faithful so that the people of God would renew the face of the earth. Before Vatican II, in the Middle Ages, when there was the church was at its height of corruption among its members, God raised up heroic and extraordinary saints and unique and new expressions of religious life in the Franciscans and St. Francis of Assisi, in St. Dominic and the Order of Preachers or the Dominicans, in later St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Society of Jesus or the Jesuits who founded this church, and the reform of the Carmelites under St. Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. But now, hundreds of years later, it is the vision of Holy Mother Church, the desire of God Himself, and the purpose of the faith and the church in the world today that every baptized faithful person would be the next St. Francis of Assisi, St. Dominic, St. Teresa of Avila, and so on. That 1.3 billion Catholics in the world would make the love of God manifest in the world where you work, where you live, where you shop, how you drive, how you party and celebrate, so that there is no question. We don't need to wait for a saint to come in our midst dressed as a religious or priest. The Lord is calling upon you, the faithful, to be the saints of our day in regular common clothes to show the world that single and married people are called to be saints, to be filled with the love of God, to make His love known. But I thought, why isn't this happening? What's holding us back? Why are we so dead, even if our bodies are in church? Why are we not moved by the love of God? Why is our lives not characterized by joy? Why are we not boldly proclaiming the love of God to the random stranger on the street? Well, we know from the gospel today that the first fruit, and in the catechism, of the Holy Spirit is the forgiveness of sins. Before Christ ascends to the right hand of the Father, according to today's gospel, Jesus appears before the apostles and He breathes the Holy Spirit down upon them, and He gives them the Holy Spirit by His very divine breath, namely to the apostles. And He tells them, whose sins you forgive in my name are forgiven, and whose sins you do not forgive will be retained. Jesus is ascending to the right hand of the Father. He alone can forgive sins in God's name. That's why He was crucified. The scribes and Pharisees said, "Who are you to forgive sins in God's name? Only God can do that." Exactly. How dare you make yourself equal to God? And for that He was crucified. Jesus now gives this authority and power to the apostles, the first bishops of the church, who continue that ministry and that gift of healing and forgiving sins by the imposition of hands at the sacrament of holy orders upon priests and bishops. And that ministry is meant to continue because our sins keep the Spirit from moving in our life. Our sins hold back the power and grace of God bestowed upon us at baptism and confirmation. The reason why we are dead is because we refuse to go to confession. There is no better way to guarantee our eternal perdition than to refuse the sacrament of confession. It's interesting to note that in 1917, May 13th, we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima. Before the invention of TV and internet, Our Lady of Fatima, in a private revelation, though approved by the church, told the children of Fatima and the world that we should go to confession once a month. Once a month. Yes, the church requires that we go once a year, but what I find too often in our country here in the United States is that everybody goes to communion and hardly no one goes to confession. And so not only are we dead because of our sins, but we dig ourselves even deeper, hurting profoundly the hopes of our salvation by receiving the Eucharist unworthily, in serious sin, the presumption that I have a right to this. And so we dig ourselves even deeper. The grace and the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit die all the more and are latent. But through the sacrament of confession, by the forgiveness of sins, which is the will of God in Christ Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, frequently celebrated, and then receiving the Eucharist worthily, all things are possible. We can turn our hearts, like the debauchery of Franciscan University in the 70s, into what it became and is today, a life center of Catholic leaders throughout the world, producing religious brothers, priests, devout Catholic practicing families, generous in the number of children they have, and leaders in the church and the world. Anything is possible when we accept the gift of the Holy Spirit by rejecting what holds us back through the confession of our sins and actively receiving the sacraments and praying in the Spirit as God's beloved sons and daughters, with confidence and assurance of the love of God and his desire to fulfill his will in our lives. If only we ask him what he wants when we pray, rather than tell him what we want when we pray. That 4 years of college really opened my heart and mind to what can be possible. I remember the priest telling me there that, in general, their experience of hearing confessions, which happened daily on campus and was available, revealed to them the fact that those who were quote-unquote charismatic, or better said, those who are devoutly adoring God the Holy Spirit on a daily basis and living in the fruits of the Spirit, had far more less serious sins to confess than others. Too often we repress our base desires, and religion is a repression of this darkness that is within. And we go to Mass in the hopes that that monster doesn't come out. Rather than confessing that reality, acknowledging our tendencies, and begging God for healing, freedom, forgiveness in order to love, the law continues to impose itself upon us because we continue to desire to break it, when God calls us to something far greater, freedom in the fruit and love of God that is the Holy Spirit. If God can transform one campus into what it became and is today, he can do the same with your hearts and minds. But the only way that will be possible is if we frequent the sacrament of confession, abandon ourselves to God, acknowledging our brokenness and need of healing and forgiveness, and living with the bold confidence that marks the Christian who believes that they are a son and daughter of God, who pray with courage and call upon God as Abba, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, renew the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and you shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.